Happy 4th. What a great day. 4th of July on Sunday morning. Sunday. I mean, my goodness. Can't ask for a better day. A couple weeks ago, I went to a Topeka camp meeting at Light of the World Church with Pastor Wes and Pastor Debbie there. And they had two great speakers, Scott Webb and Joseph Morris. I don't know if you watched any of that online. But it was really, really good. And it was one of the nights that Pastor Scott Webb had given me a word. And I went back this morning and just kind of went over it because that was, you know, the first time since he said it that I listened to it this morning. So I just kind of want to read back, if you haven't watched it, what he has spoken over us in the church and stuff. So it says, "The Lord wanted me to lay hands on you because he wanted to add to me." God wants his pastors to pastor supernaturally. There are so many people in the body of Christ that are doing it naturally. They are reading somebody else's stuff and using somebody else's checklist to get things done. But that's not you. That's not the spirit you're of, because God has connected you and brought you in another way. You didn't come in the way that many young pastors are coming in. You came in through a man who connected you, who has imparted to you and has mentored you. And you're going to find some supernatural things happening in your church if you commit yourself to pastoring supernaturally. We look at the fivefold gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. We look at those as being supernatural. And the pastor, well, he's just there all with all the people all the time. But the pastor is probably the most supernatural of the fivefold ministry gifts because he's there with the people. And God is going to show you how to pastor supernaturally, and we are going to have supernatural things happen in our church. Because that's what God wants for his church these last days. I pastor supernaturally. God told me to lay hands on you. He's going to take that spirit on me and put it on you and add to you and add to what you already have. And your church is going to blossom and thrive in the name of Jesus. And as I walk in obedience to commitment to that, don't be deceived by the things that deceive so many. No, instead, recognize that the days are short. The coming of the Lord is soon and is nigh. And there is great work to be done, and it can't be done by natural means. So we're going to move on over to the supernatural. Woo. I like that. That's a good word. Had me pumped up. Open up your Bibles if you have them to John 10:10. Title of my message is Land of the Free, Home of the Brave. We talked about we are free when we actually sang about it. We are free. We are free to dance. We're free to praise. We're free to move. We are free to run. We also have freedoms in religion. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom of press. You can get on social media. I saw a quote one time that says, "Social media has made it where anybody can say anything and not get punched in the mouth." That's the carnal side of that. I was like, that's true, though, because usually when you growing up, some of y'all had a, you know, there could have been a, you know, a little smart mouth, smart aleck, what you do. I said, all right, meet me behind the school, 3 o'clock. It's going down. But we don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to do that. It says, this is the passing translations. This is Jesus saying, said to the Pharisees. Now, these religious leaders were constantly trying to stop what Jesus was doing. They was trying to set up obstacles in his way, trying to slow him down, trying to, talking negative about him, just constantly just blasting his name. From the, you know, the Gospels is just a snapshot of the life of Jesus. So we don't know how often they were actually doing these things. They could have been doing it all the time. So it says here, listen to the eternal truth. The person who sneaks over the wall to enter into the sheep pen rather than coming through the gate reveals himself as a thief coming to steal. But the true shepherd walks right up to the gate. And because the gatekeeper know who he is, he opens the gate to let him in. And the sheep recognize the voice of the true shepherd, for he calls his own by name and leads them out, for they belong to him. And when he brought out all his sheep, he walks ahead of them and they will follow him, for they are familiar with his voice. But they will run away from strangers and never follow them because they know it's the voice of a stranger. Jesus told the Pharisees this parable, even though they didn't understand a word what he meant. So he said it over again. I speak to you eternal truth. I am the gate for the flock. All those who broke in before me are thieves who came to steal. But the sheep never listen to them. I am the gateway. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, he wants to slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. So a thief does not want you experiencing the overflow in your life. They're constantly trying to bring you down. They're constantly trying to trip you up. They're constantly trying to set up obstacles. Well, they need to go through. No, no, no. Your responsibility as a believer is to help them, to build them up. We tear down strongholds in our life. We don't tear down people in our lives. See, I believe we live in the greatest nation. This nation is great. And I don't care if people don't like that. This nation is great. All depends on how you look at it, though. We have the freedom to preach the gospel and take it to the ends of the earth pretty much unhindered. Not a lot of countries can say that. They got to go into hiding. But we get to preach it. We get to demonstrate it. Go to our churches every Sunday or what have you throughout the week. Pretty much unhindered. This is a great nation. But every nation has its problems. But this is a great nation. Government trying to shut the church? Over what? What was the last thing we just went through this last year? All that mess. COVID. I want us to just do some self-examination. Now, I know everybody here has been, we've been coming and we hadn't shut down or what have you for the most part. Thank God for that. And, but we could just do some self-examination and people online can do some self-examination. But this is what I want you to understand. Ask yourself this question. Which name did we exalt more in this past year? Jesus? Or COVID. How about which one did we do more research on? Jesus or COVID? How about which one did we put more faith in? Jesus or COVID? Which one bore your sins, your sicknesses, and diseases? Jesus or COVID? We have been given the name which is above all names, that is including COVID, that is including anything that the government or anyone else want to conjure up behind the scenes and throw in our faces. We exalt the name of Jesus because it is a name that is above every name out there. And see, now we know that the enemy walks around like a lion in every which way. You know something else is coming up. So those who exalted COVID, right now, you could be exalting Jesus until that next thing comes. So when you're prepared and it comes, you are standing with the righteousness of God and you can speak to that thing and command it to leave. I understand everybody can't do it. John G. Lake did that, put his finger in where the people were being swabbed with the bubonic plague and all that other stuff, and he just killed it. Well, everybody's not there. I said, well, here's the thing. We can get there. Don't just settle. Oh, I'll never be like this. I will never get in shape. Well, if I constantly sitting down on my keister, I'll never get in shape. But it feels so good. No, it's just funny. See, the more we're talking more and more about our problems, our COVID, the bigger we make it. We make it so much bigger than God is. And then when we talk about God, that problem just becomes nothing. I ain't afraid. And you should never be afraid of that. Well, you don't understand the latest statistics, but you don't understand the Word of God. I don't get that, Pastor Tim. How can you say that? Because it's worked for my life. Over and over and over and over and over again, it has never failed me. God has never failed me. If it did, it was my fault. Think about this. As much as we wanted to, some people may have wanted to protect their kids from that COVID, Jesus did the exact same thing with you 2,000 years ago. He gave you all you needed. He cares more about us than we do our own kids. Our families. We just got to start believing in it. Start walking in it. Start living in it. So why should you ever worry? And see, and here's the thing. The more and more the media pumps it out. Pumps it out. Pumps it out. They're going to do it. Don't sit there and watch it. They're going to do it. Guess what? Why don't we, instead of arguing and bickering and fighting with one another, why don't we just get together, put that thing out, that little blurb that they put out, and then just drown it out with the word. Amen. Don't even let it get off the ground. They start talking about something, not today. Don't just send it to your friends, put it out there. If you're led to do a bit, this is what the word of, this is what they're saying, but this is what the word of God says. We ain't got to wait for a Sunday morning. Do it Monday through Sunday, Sunday through Saturday, what have you. 24/7, 365. That's what that social media is for. The gospel is God's answer to this dying world. We will stop becoming a great nation if these rights and privileges are taken away from us. We won't be living in the land of the free. And sometimes we just gotta quit getting all caught up in that selfie diet. You know what the selfie diet is? Sometimes we get full of ourselves. It's about other people. It's about reaching them. Live in the greatest nation. Matthew 5:13. Turn there, please, if you would. It says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." See, as a believer, we have a say-so in everything. You don't think you do, you do. You have a say-so in everything that goes on in this nation. Jesus didn't leave this world to unbelievers. He left it to believers. Here's another one that would just mess people up because they don't like prosperity. He didn't put the gold in the ground for unbelievers. He put it for believers. I believe that's Genesis 2:11 if you want to look at that. God made all that stuff, the onyx, the stones, all that. He didn't put it for unbelievers. Come on. We have a great influence in this world, but if we lose our flavor, if we lose our position, then what good would we be to a dying world? Pastor West just texted me. See what he said. "I believe in you and thank God he raised you up for such a time as this. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter, Tim, and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who have been with Jesus." Acts of the Apostles 4:13. "You are bold because you have been with Jesus. Love and respect you, Pastor West." Well, I really didn't like that guy anyway. That's a joke from Topeka. I believe when, y'all remember Gary DeVoe when he had passed away and at his memorial, Pastor West had said, you know, "Well, I really didn't like him anyway." And everybody just busted up laughing. So I said, that's why, you know, they wanted me to say that after we transitioned. So that would have been a really good one, right? Jesus says you are the salt of the earth. See, have you ever tasted something that was just so bland? And is anybody here like salt? My wife don't like salt. Not too much salt. When she cooks, I put salt in it. And we all look at it like. And put it back. And then, now that's better. So you want the just a right amount of salt. We don't want to be too salty. Because then it'd be thrown out too. Or some people just turn you away. Doesn't mean that you ain't good. Salt can never lose its flavor. But sometimes we can with other people because we come on too strong. Or what have you. We want to be just the right amount. And sometimes, you know what? We need to be. But when the salt is hitting just right, it'll make you smack your lips. Just, my, that's so good. You understand? It's like people want to be around you because that's the way you make them feel. You're telling them the truth. You're speaking the truth. You're adding more flavor to what's going on in their life. Man, that's exactly what I needed today. I was sitting around a couple of pastors and stuff like that. It's like, you know, we were talking about some things and then we get down to the end of it and we end up just praying for each other. It's just the three of us. And it's like, man, that's exactly what we all needed. Salt. Be the salt of the earth. Luke 14:34-35, the New Living Translation says this. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. Ooh, it is thrown away. See, we don't want to be there. We want to be able to make a difference in this nation. We don't want to be the ones that were, you know, if the states and this nation, politicians and things, they don't have any place to go. Call the church. Call some believers. Call some people who have a track record. We can help you out. But if we lose our flavor, what kind of difference can we make? We can't. Matthew 5:14. So not only are you the salt of the earth, but you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So now not only do you have influence in this world by being the salt of the earth, Jesus says you are the light of the world. Not just in a neighborhood, but a light into the world. You know, if you ever had a power outage, you don't go and grab your sunglasses. You grab a what? Flashlight. You light some candles. Because you want to dispel that darkness. You don't want to be walking in darkness. How can we be salt of the earth if we're walking in darkness either? How can we be the light unto the world? Your job as a light is to shine bright. Shine bright. Shine wherever darkness is. See, we aren't supposed to be closet believers. Years ago, I asked our youth, I think it was like the first year, second year, something like that, we were doing youth, R3, and I asked them, if we were to ever get convicted of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence? If we were to get arrested, and would we be convicted for being a Christian? And sometimes we just boil it down to a t-shirt. It's not about the t-shirt. It's about who you are. Either you're going to stand up for righteousness or you're not. It's what you stand for and what you stand against. You're there to make an impact. 14 years. I said 13 years. Isaiah and Carly is taking over the youth, and I never thought that that would happen. And Isaiah was kind of reluctant to do that. Carly was all, "Yeah, let's do it." Isaiah's like, "Nah, I don't know." I said, "But he stepped into that, and of course, there's a lot more that goes with it. But the thing about it is, it's like they made a pretty big dent in this city while being teenagers and things of that nature. Them, Madison and Cass and them. I said, we've had a lock-in. The first year we did it, Pastor Brandon spoke. And it was on New Year's Eve. And, we had about 48 students. And the Lord checked me on that and he did a great job. But of course, Brandon was like, "Why don't you preach?" And the Lord checked me on that. He's like, "I told you to do it. And you're trying to push it off on somebody else." I said, the next year we didn't even do it at all. I mean, we weren't going to. And then a lot of students started saying, "Are you going to do a lock-in this year? Are we going to do a lock-in?" And I was like, "I don't know. Should we?" 2 weeks out, we planned a lock-in. Got the prizes, all that stuff. 2 weeks out, we had 88 students. We had over 10 salvations. Check this out. 55 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we weren't going to do it. I'm seeing people, young teenagers, eighth graders, middle school, high school, crying their eyes out to God. And then it was like for several years, we could not break 100. Not that it was about the number, but it would be like 98, 95, 98, 99, 96. Okay. Until we did one that was called Crave. See, Crave, 1 Corinthians 14:1. Eagerly desire these spiritual gifts. It means to crave these things. Especially that you may prophesy. God showed up. 158. Praise God. Next year, nearly 300 at the fairgrounds. We're called to be a light. We're called to be a light. Believers are called to be a light. It's not about works. It's not, we can't get saved by our works. I was talking with a young fella and they were basically, one of them was a Christian. I wouldn't say a Christian. He said he was baptized Catholic. And then he goes, "Well, I would just go to, you know, church on Easter with my grandmother." I said, "Oh, you're a Christer, right?" Sorry, I just bit my tongue. "You're a Christer." He goes, "What's a Christer?" "You just go Christmas and Easter." And he just busted out laughing. And so he started sharing a little bit about that. "You know, I just believe, you know, if I just do good and everything would be all right." I said, "Dude, there's not enough good that you can do in this world in order to spend eternity with the Father. You're going to have to accept what Jesus has done for you. Because we are saved by grace through faith and not by works, that any man should boast." He goes, "Well, I'll take my chance." And I looked at him and said, "I wouldn't." "Are you kidding? I'll take, if Jesus was to come back today, you take that chance?" "Oh yeah, I'll be fine." I said, "All right." And then he says, and I said, "What about you?" He asked his friend, I said, he says his friend, he don't even believe at all. Long story short, his friend got born again. The one that didn't believe. Because he was going off of works too. "Well, I believe, you know, it's about what I put my hands to." I said, "You realize I came from God? You staying in a hotel tonight, open up that drawer, look in the Bible, go to Deuteronomy 8:18. God gives you the ability to gain wealth. That didn't come from you." Prayed with them. Sent them on his way. We're called to be a light. See, I wasn't doing it for myself. You can look at... I won't even go there. 2 Timothy 1:7. This is one of my favorite scriptures. You probably know it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God did not give us. The Apostle Paul being selfless and always thinking of others while he was in prison. He's saying, Timothy, God did not give us this. It's not the time to be living in fear. I know you're going through some stuff, but God didn't give this to us. That's the time to be bold. That's the time to be brave. He did not give us a spirit of fear. Fear is not something we live by, but the just shall live by faith. Satan uses fear. But there would be no reason to live by faith if fear was never used as a weapon to get us out of our faith. So whenever fear shows up, faith has got to come from us, not fear. We shouldn't be afraid of anything. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Nothing. What they going to do? Talk about you? They can't do it. What are we afraid of? Be bold. Be brave. Share your faith with people. Fear will paralyze you, but faith moves. And here's the thing. You can't be strong and courageous without any opposition. How can you win a battle? In order to win a battle, you got to be in a battle. How can you have victory over something when there was never a war? What are we celebrating? Independence Day. There was a war. There had to be, otherwise that's just, it was just fake. John 10:10 lets us know that there are two kingdoms at work. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. God good, Satan bad. We've heard that for years, right? And it's so simple. God good, Satan bad. There's one that steals, kills, and to destroy, and the other that gives life and gives life more abundantly. And we work for that abundant life kingdom. Not the one that steals, kills, and destroys. We work for the abundant life kingdom. So don't get it twisted thinking that you are supposed to be another believer's problem. That's the enemy's job. You know, in Job, there are four things that happen in Job. You don't have to turn there. But with Job, I believe a great fire fell from God. It says from heaven, basically, because Satan can control that, manipulates all that stuff. But there were the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans, and then there was a great wind that came and just leveled out everything. The Sabaeans and Chaldeans were demon-possessed that came against Job and his family. You realize you've got to yield yourself to the enemy in order to come against another believer. Because that wouldn't be the abundant life. That makes sense? Romans 16 says this, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep your eyes on those who cause dissensions and create obstacles or introduce temptations for others to commit sin. Acting in ways contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Turn away from them, for such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites and base desires. By smooth and flattery speech, they deceive the hearts of unsuspecting, the innocent, and the naive. People, watch out for those who try to have you go against another believer. Watch out for those who try to cause division and stir up trouble. Turn away from them. Watch out for those who try to have you slander another person's name. Understand, they don't serve Jesus. They serve the enemy. Jesus came to give us life. Our responsibility is to build up, not tear down. If you want to be brave, if you want to be bold, if you want to be courageous in these last days, then you are going to have to follow the true shepherd's voice and not the voice of a stranger. A voice of a stranger will have you doing something that God never told you to do. The shepherd's voice is saying, listen to me. Let it go. Walk in love. Luke 9, 51, 56. Oh my goodness. Where did that go? Whew. That just like disappeared real quick. <That's> like, well, we just go freestyle. I ain't worried about it. We follow the voice of the deliverer, not the voice of a coward. We follow the voice of the king, not the voice of a thing. Luke 9:51, it says, now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up. This is Jesus and talking about when he was supposed to go in and be delivered on over. Then he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face as they went. They entered a village of Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, the sons of thunder, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? See, Elijah called fire down from heaven. If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume all y'all. I believe it was like 52 of them. And then they come back. Another 50, 51 or what have you, come back and do it again. Man of God, the king wants to say, well, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you. Another 50. It's like, yo, hey, bro, can you come with us, please? They changed their tone up pretty quick. You got to learn. They got to learn. But he turned and rebuked him and says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That's important. That's part of that abundant life. And they went to another village. These guys were wanting to call down fire from heaven because they rejected Jesus. And he says, that's not the right spirit. You're trying to cause problems and harm to other people. That's not the right spirit. See, I love the patriotism in this nation, but I believe that patriotism is laced, it is intertwined with the commandments that Jesus has given us from my own definition. This is just my own opinion. Loving God and loving your neighbor. See, true patriots, and I'm talking about believers, not unbelievers. If you're an unbeliever, please don't try to get upset. You can text me or call me later on or what have you, or get born again and just let it go. But true patriots, they love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. They love God. They put him first in their life. Second thing is they love their family. They will protect their family with everything God. You trying to come and harm our family? You going to get it, bruh? They will protect their family. If you got guns, protect your family. Even Jesus told them, sell your cloak and buy a sword. They will protect their family. The third thing is they love their church. They love their family. They love gathering together with people. Family that stays, that church, that body that stays and connected with each other and praying for each other and building each other up. They love that. The patriot do. And again, the fourth thing is they love their country. Love their country with everything. I mean, my goodness, they will die for their country. True patriots will die for their country. And the fifth thing is, if you disagree with them, you know what? That's not going to change them. They will defend their rights. They will protect their rights. You want their guns? You better come get them. See, that's a key word. Come get them. They didn't say they're going to go after you. You want them, come get them. We will defend our rights to have these privileges, our freedoms. We're not backing down. They can agree to disagree with you. Now, the other side, the other manner of spirit is what you've seen in the past and seen with people who had some white sheets on and junk like that. See, they claim to love God. Right? They'll protect their family. They love their church. It was birthed out of the church. They'll protect their country. They love their country in their own way. And here's the thing. The fifth thing is, if you disagree with them, they'll go after you. They don't know what manner of spirit they're of. And if we're doing that type of stuff, and when we're believing that we're patriots and going after people, we're not operating in that spirit that God has given us. It's not the Holy Ghost that we're going to, that's having us to do that. That's a different type of spirit. I would do a shuffle, but my knees hurt. Romans 12:17, it says this. Never repay anyone evil for evil. Take thought for what is right and gracious and proper in the sight of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Never avenge yourselves. It don't matter what they've done to you. Never avenge yourself. You, the Holy Spirit is your comforter. You don't have to go out and do that. Look at what it says. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, for I will repay. Now, God ain't going to just drop a bomb on them or anything like that, but he will protect you. If you are where God has placed you, then you will be divinely protected. You ain't got to step out of love for no one. Joseph didn't. He was divinely positioned and divinely protected. And yet he went from a slave to a master. Second in command. Don't you get out of that love walk. Don't you dare. I'll come and get you. What about the Garden of Gethsemane? I haven't heard anyone say this yet. When Jesus was being arrested and Judas came up and betrayed him with a kiss. See, they were getting ready to seize Jesus, and who came out of the back and cut off that high servant of the high priest's ear? That was Peter, wasn't it? Get old Peter. Yeah. See, I think in a movie they had him kind of like doing this like it's a piece of bread. Come on, man. Who's going to stand there just... I like the precision cut. Yeah. Jesus picked his ear up. Says, put your sword away. Because those who live by the sword will die by the sword. He talks about that at his disposal. God can give him 12 legions of angels. That's a lot of angels. You only need one. He said 12 legion. That was an exaggeration. But see, the thing about it is, Peter was out of order because he's the sheep. The shepherd says, Jesus says that the shepherd lays down their life for the sheep. Peter was trying to lay down his life for Jesus and protect him. Now, can you imagine David sending the sheep to go attack the lion? Attack the bear? Go get him. I'm a high back. Get him, sheep. No. Peter was out of order. Put your sword away, Peter. You don't protect me. God protects me. When you're divinely positioned, you are divinely protected. You don't need no sheep protecting you. Say it's a secret service. So anybody that wants to get on a pastor or a leader, what have you, I said, they are out of their plumb dumb mind. If God has planted them, that's stupid. Come on. Luke 10. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves, carry neither money, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, they receive you. Eat such things as are set before you and heal the sick. Amen. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Now, if you go on down to verse 17, it says this. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, and the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. See, it's not our responsibility to set obstacles. Can you imagine Jesus sending that 70 out and then teleporting to the next city and say, hey, listen up. I got about 70 people coming. Now, I've given them all authority, all power to trample over the serpents and scorpions. This is what I want y'all to do. I want you to be extra demonic for them. I want you to resist them with everything that you got. Yeah, you over there. Yeah. You're doing good. Everybody be like that guy right there. Be like him. And just resist it with everything you got. No. They came back with a good report. Jesus wasn't an obstacle for his own disciples. We shouldn't be obstacles. The disciples weren't an obstacle for their own disciples, for their own believers and stuff. We don't try to trip one or the other. Why? Because the kingdom of God needs to be advanced. It needs to be preached. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. Jesus is the way. He is the way. There is no other way to get there. You can't get there by just doing good works. We know that. He's the way, but pastor, what if I give about 30% of my income to the poor? Don't matter. If that's all you do, if you do it after the fact, that's great. After you receive Jesus, that's great. You give 100% of your income, unbelievers, it don't matter how much you do community service. If you don't have Jesus in your life, it ain't gonna matter. I mean, you see that with some celebrities, when they get community service, oh, they go help and, He's the way. Jesus is the real deal. He is the life source. You want to be brave, you got to stand up for truth. You got to stand for righteousness. But I did this a long time ago. Well, didn't you confess it? If you confess it, he says he'll cleanse you from, he'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Don't allow somebody to keep you in your sin. If you can get past your past, my goodness, the things that you can do. I'm telling you right now, from here on out, can't no one stop you from doing anything but you. If you are divinely positioned, you are divinely protected. Can't no man, no woman, no entity stop you from doing what you are called to do. So what are you to fear? Are we escalating them, exalting them, or are we exalting Jesus? I'm telling you, this is going to help you set you free. Well, you don't know what I did. I don't give a rip. Because God doesn't look at you that way. People do. He looks on the inward man. David wasn't somebody else. My goodness, man. Everyone looked at him the wrong way. but God. He was too short. He was too small. He was this. Nah, he was the only one that says, that giant's coming down. But I don't know enough. What do you know? If you know that Jesus is your Savior, that's all you need. Look what you can accomplish with that. Can't no one stop you from doing what God has called you to do. It don't matter how many little obstacles they try to set your way, nor how many red flags they try to throw at you and all this other stuff to stop your business from growing. Uh-uh. Don't you dare back down. I'm going to exalt the name of Jesus. You're going to exalt the name of Jesus. I don't give a rip what the government say. If they ain't speaking alongside what the Bible says, especially with Sloppy Joe. Be bold enough to say something. God does not raise up any cowards. Nobody's a coward in here. And don't answer to something that's basically trying to call you out your name. I got a name. My name's Timothy. It means honoring God. And your name means something. So if you're going to answer to something that somebody else is calling you, don't you dare. Because that's going to end up being your identity. Be bold. Be brave. You live in the land of the free, the home of the brave. And you got the greatest king living on the inside of you. We serve the greatest God. There is no other. We can make up our own, but it ain't going to be enough. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that we can stand in righteousness every single day because you has cleansed us from that, Lord. We just believe that every person here will not walk in any shame, guilt, or condemnation, Lord. We thank you that they can walk in your freedoms and that no entity, no man, no woman can ever stop them from doing what you've called them to do. That they will flourish the rest of this year and until you come back, Lord. We just give you grace. We just give you thank you. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.